In a society where being pretty isn't just desirable but mandatory, Scott Westerfeld's Uglies presents a chilling vision of humanity's future that has captivated millions of readers worldwide. Published in 2005, this dystopian novel became an instant sensation, particularly among young adults searching for the next thought-provoking series after The Hunger Games. The book's exploration of conformity, identity, and the psychological price of physical perfection struck a chord with celebrities like Emma Watson, who cited it as one of her favorite dystopian novels for its feminist undertones and critique of beauty standards. Beyond entertainment, Uglies has been incorporated into school curricula nationwide for its rich themes and ability to spark discussions about society's obsession with appearance. Westerfeld's world-building brilliance creates a future that feels disturbingly possible, where turning 16 means surrendering your unique features for government-approved perfection, and where beauty might be the most insidious form of control ever devised. In Westerfeld's meticulously crafted world, humanity has rebuilt itself after the collapse of our rusty civilization, creating a society where everyone is classified based on appearance. Until age 16, all citizens are considered uglies, their natural faces and bodies viewed as imperfections to be corrected. At 16, they undergo an extensive operation, transforming them into pretties, physically perfect beings with symmetrical features, clear skin, and ideal proportions. This division is physically manifested in the city's layout. Uglies live in Uglyville, a utilitarian district with strict rules and curfews. Across the river lies New Pretty Town, a perpetual playground of parties and pleasure for the newly transformed. The contrast is stark, the dark, rule-bound world of the uglies versus the bright, hedonistic paradise of the pretties. This geographic separation reinforces the social hierarchy and creates an atmosphere of anticipation and longing among uglies counting down to their transformation. What makes this society so compelling is how it takes our current beauty obsessions to their logical extreme. Rather than merely influencing social status, appearance literally determines where you live, how you're treated, and what freedoms you enjoy. The operation isn't optional, it's a mandatory rite of passage, framed as both a gift and a right of citizenship. When I was younger, Tally reflects at one point, I used to look at pretty faces in magazines and think that being pretty would solve everything. This sentiment echoes our own culture's messages about beauty, but Westerfeld pushes us to consider, what if those messages weren't just social pressure, but government mandate? What if fixing your appearance wasn't a choice, but an obligation to society? The genius of this setup lies in its seductive simplicity. Who wouldn't want to be beautiful? Who wouldn't want to join the endless party? By making prettiness universal, the system claims to create equality. Everyone becomes beautiful, so no one can be discriminated against based on appearance. Yet beneath this seemingly utopian surface lies a more sinister purpose that forms the novel's central mystery. At its heart, Uglies is a story about friendship, specifically how relationships strain and transform under the pressure of societal expectations. The novel opens with protagonist Tally Youngblood sneaking across the river to New Pretty Town, risking severe punishment just to see her best friend Paris, who underwent the pretty operation 3 months earlier. Their reunion is heartbreaking in its awkwardness. Though Paris maintains they'll be best friends forever, the physical and social gulf between them is palpable. When Tally shows him the scar on her palm from their blood oath of friendship, Paris reveals his scar is gone, his skin completely renewed during the operation. This moment brilliantly symbolizes how the pretty procedure erases not just physical flaws, but also meaningful personal history. "We'll be friends again when you're pretty," Paris tells her, a conditional statement that haunts Tally throughout the novel. Their interaction raises profound questions. Can friendship survive when one person fundamentally changes? Is connection possible across the ugly/pretty divide? This theme deepens when Tally meets Shay, another ugly with the same birthday. Their friendship forms quickly through shared experiences, hoverboarding through the Greenbelt, playing tricks on new uglies, and discussing their impending operations. Yet their perspectives diverge dramatically. While Tali eagerly anticipates her transformation, Shay questions the entire premise. Why is everyone so obsessed with being pretty? It's just the way you look, Shay challenges during a heated argument. It's not just looks, Tali responds defensively. It's everything. It's pretty thinking, pretty talking, all that. This exchange encapsulates the novel's central conflict. Is prettiness merely aesthetic, or does it fundamentally change who you are? Should we accept society's definition of beauty, or question why that definition exists? Through Tali and Shay's friendship, Westerfeld explores how difficult it is to maintain connections when your core values diverge, especially when those values concern identity itself. When Shay ultimately runs away to avoid her operation, leaving Tali behind with cryptic directions to follow if she changes her mind, their friendship faces its greatest test. This separation forces Tali to confront what matters more, conforming to society's expectations or standing by someone who dares to reject them. The smoke represents a radical alternative to the city's controlled environment, a community of runaways who've rejected the pretty operation and chosen to live in the wilderness. This settlement serves as both physical location and philosophical counterpoint to the city's values. What makes the smoke fascinating is that it's not portrayed as a perfect utopia. Life there is hard. Residents perform physical labor, salvage materials from rusty ruins, and live without the comforts of city technology. They cut down trees to build structures, which horrifies city-raised Tali, create their own clothing, and cook over open fires. Yet this difficulty comes with profound freedom, the freedom to age naturally, to develop skills rather than just consume entertainment, and to maintain individual identity. The community's values directly challenge city assumptions. While city residents discard and recycle possessions constantly, Smokies treasure objects that show wear and history. When David gives Tali handmade leather gloves, she's struck by their uniqueness. Unlike disposable city items, objects in the smoke carried their stories in every scratch and mark. This appreciation for imperfection extends to people. In the smoke, faces aren't standardized, but unique, showing character through scars, wrinkles, and asymmetry. David, born in the wilderness, has never internalized the city's beauty standards, allowing him to see Tali's ugly face as beautiful on its own terms. Perhaps most revolutionary is the smoke's relationship with nature. City residents view the natural world as something to be controlled and improved upon, much like human faces. Smokies, by contrast, live within nature's constraints, recognizing its power and beauty. When Tali witnesses a sunset outside the city, she finds it as spectacular as fireworks, but changing at a stately pace, suggesting natural wonders might surpass manufactured ones. The smoke challenges not just how people look, but how they live, what they value, and how they relate to their environment. It offers a vision of humanity working with nature rather than dominating it, embracing diversity rather than standardization, and finding meaning through creation rather than consumption. The novel's most chilling revelation comes when Tali meets David's parents, former city surgeons, who discovered the pretty operation's dark secret. The procedure doesn't just transform appearances. It creates lesions in the brain that fundamentally alter how people think. These lesions specifically target areas responsible for independent thought, creativity, and critical analysis, effectively lobotomizing the population while maintaining their basic functionality. This twist brilliantly recontextualizes everything we've seen. The vapid, pleasure-seeking behavior of pretties isn't just a cultural phenomenon, it's neurological engineering. The operation creates a docile population incapable of serious dissent or independent thinking. The pretties' obsession with parties, their peculiar slang, bubbly, bogus, and their inability to focus on serious matters are all symptoms of intentional brain damage. As Maddie explains, the lesions appear in 99% of pretties, always in the same location. The only exceptions were people with challenging jobs, firefighters, doctors, politicians, and special circumstances agents. The city needs some people to think clearly, but they carefully control who gets to keep their full mental capabilities. This revelation transforms our understanding of the pretty system from misguided vanity to calculated control. The government doesn't make people pretty to create equality or happiness, but to ensure compliance. The surgery's dual nature, physical beautification and mental impairment, serves as a perfect mechanism for social control. Beautiful people are more likely to be trusted and listened to, while their compromised cognitive abilities prevent them from questioning the system or organizing resistance. The operation's effects become painfully evident when Tali encounters Shay after her transformation. Once rebellious and independent, Shay becomes shallow and unconcerned about her former friend's imprisonment. Her personality changes are stark. Her former passion for hoverboarding is replaced with an obsession with parties and fashion, her quick wit dulled to vapid small talk. When Tali tries to remind her of their history and values, Shay dismisses her concerns, claiming she simply grew up. The interaction demonstrates how the surgery doesn't just change appearances, but erases fundamental aspects of personality and character. This aspect of the novel feels particularly relevant today, when cosmetic procedures are increasingly normalized and social media filters create standardized ideals of beauty. The rise of Instagram face, a homogenized, filtered look that millions aspire to, mirrors the novel's pretty standard. The pressure to conform to these beauty standards often comes with real costs, financial burden, health risks, and the loss of individual characteristics that make faces unique. Westerfeld asks us to consider what we might be sacrificing in terms of individuality, critical thinking, and authentic connection when we pursue artificial beauty standards. The pretty operation serves as an extreme metaphor for how society's beauty obsession might be numbing us to more meaningful aspects of human existence. David represents a radical perspective in the novel's world, someone raised outside the city who never internalized its beauty standards. Born in the smoke to runaway parents, he's never been conditioned to see ugly features as flaws needing correction. When he tells Tali she's beautiful, her initial reaction is disbelief. How could anyone find an ugly attractive? But David's appreciation isn't despite her flaws, it's because he values what those features represent. "You're brave," he tells her, "and you've had adventures. That's what makes you beautiful." For David, beauty isn't symmetrical features or perfect skin, but character expressed through appearance. He admires Tali's facial scratches as signs of experience rather than imperfections to be erased. This perspective challenges not just the city's beauty standards, but the very concept of standardized beauty itself. Their relationship develops through shared experiences rather than physical attraction alone. David teaches Tali wilderness skills. She shows him how to optimize hoverboards. They work together salvaging metal from railroad tracks, an activity that leaves Tali's hands blistered but gives her pride in tangible accomplishment, something new Pretty Town's endless parties never provided. David's character serves multiple purposes in the narrative. He offers Tali, and readers, an alternative masculine ideal, one based on competence, kindness, and authenticity rather than physical perfection. He demonstrates that attraction can develop from respect and shared values rather than programmed responses to standardized features. Most importantly, he shows that beauty standards are cultural constructs rather than universal truths. When Tali eventually falls for David, it represents a profound shift in her thinking. She doesn't just accept his compliments, she begins to see beauty differently herself. Despite his imperfect features, something had changed inside her, making him appear pretty. This transformation in perception, learning to see beauty in individuality rather than conformity, becomes as significant as any physical change the pretty operation might have created. What elevates Uglies above typical dystopian fare is its moral complexity, particularly regarding Tali's central betrayal. When Special Circumstances discovers Shay has run away, they give Tali an impossible choice: either help them find the smoke or remain ugly forever. This dilemma forces Tali to weigh competing values, her desire to become pretty against her loyalty to Shay. Initially motivated by self-interest, she agrees to betray the smoke, carrying a tracking pendant that will activate with her eyeprint and signal authorities. What makes this betrayal compelling is how Tally's perspective evolves. As she journeys to the smoke following Shay's cryptic directions, she experiences the natural world's beauty, develops self-reliance, and begins questioning city values. By the time she arrives, she's no longer certain becoming pretty is worth betraying her friend. The moral stakes escalate when Tally falls in love with David and learns the truth about the pretty operation. Her pendant, still unactivated, becomes both literal and metaphorical burden, a physical representation of her guilty conscience. When she finally throws it into a fire, believing this destroys it, she thinks she's chosen loyalty over betrayal. The novel's devastating twist comes when special circumstances attacks anyway. The pendant was designed to signal when damaged. Tally's attempt to choose the right path inadvertently causes exactly what she hoped to prevent. This complexity avoids simplistic moral lessons, instead showing how good intentions can lead to catastrophic outcomes when operating within corrupt systems. The aftermath forces Tally to confront the consequences of her actions. Oz is killed, the smoke destroyed, and Shay forcibly transformed into a pretty. When David learns Tally was the spy, his heartbreak and anger are palpable. Yet the novel doesn't end with simple condemnation. Instead, Tally chooses a path of atonement, volunteering to become pretty herself so Maddie can test a cure on her. This resolution demonstrates remarkable moral nuance. Tally doesn't escape consequences or receive easy forgiveness. Instead, she takes responsibility by putting herself at risk to help others, transforming her betrayal into potential redemption. Special Circumstances represents the novel's most visible manifestation of authority and control. Unlike standard pretties with their perfect symmetry and perpetual smiles, specials are modified for intimidation, taller, more powerfully built, with sharp teeth, wolf-like gray eyes, and predatory grace. Their razor-sharp features and chrome-hard skin make them appear almost metallic, a deliberate design choice to set them apart from both uglies and regular pretties. Dr. Cable, the face of this organization, embodies cold efficiency and manipulation. Her beauty is described as cruel and intimidating, a deliberate deviation from standard prettiness designed to inspire fear rather than attraction. Her movements are unnaturally fluid, like a snake's, and her voice carries an underlying threat even in casual conversation. When she tells Tally, "This city is a paradise. It feeds you, educates you, keeps you safe. It makes you pretty," her words reveal the social contract at the heart of their society, comfort and beauty in exchange for compliance. This exchange becomes more sinister when considering the complete control it grants over citizens' bodies and minds. What makes Special Circumstances particularly effective as antagonists is their combination of physical superiority and moral certainty. They genuinely believe they're protecting civilization from threats like the smoke, viewing themselves as guardians rather than oppressors. Their enhanced strength allows them to leap impossible distances, run at superhuman speeds, and heal from injuries that would kill normal humans. When they attack the smoke, they do so with these abilities, but without weapons, confident in their physical dominance, but unwilling to cause unnecessary harm to citizens they believe need rescuing from wrong thinking. This approach reveals their paternalistic view of society. The organization's name itself contains revealing doublespeak. Special suggests privilege and exception, while circumstances implies temporary necessity rather than permanent control. This linguistic sleight of hand mirrors how authoritarian systems often frame restrictions as temporary measures for public good rather than permanent mechanisms of control. The term special circumstances itself is often whispered among uglies and pretties, becoming a boogeyman that keeps citizens in line through fear rather than direct force. Special Circumstances also represents the logical endpoint of the pretty system's philosophy. If standard prettiness creates docile citizens through brain lesions, special modifications create perfect enforcers, physically superior, psychologically intimidating, and morally certain. They're what happens when the system's values are taken to their extreme conclusion. Their enhanced bodies and minds make them the perfect tools of social control, while their absolute conviction in their mission makes them immune to doubt or rebellion. Even their living quarters reflect their nature. Stark, efficient spaces in high towers overlooking the city, symbolizing their role as watchful guardians of the system they serve. Throughout Uglies, the natural world serves as a powerful counterpoint to the city's artificial environment. Tally's journey from urban comfort to wilderness appreciation tracks her evolving perspective on beauty, control, and authenticity. This transformation becomes central to her character development and the novel's broader themes about civilization versus nature. Initially, Tally views nature through a distinctly urban lens, as something primitive to be improved upon or controlled. When she first ventures beyond city limits with Shay, she's skeptical anything worthwhile exists outside urban boundaries. Her first encounters with wilderness are deeply uncomfortable. Cold nights that make her long for temperature-controlled rooms, difficult terrain that bruises her city-soft feet, and the constant sense of exposure without protective walls. She struggles with basic tasks like starting fires and finding shelter, highlighting how dependent she's become on artificial systems. As her journey progresses, however, Tally begins noticing natural beauty on its own terms. Watching her first sunrise outside the city, she finds it as spectacular as fireworks, but changing at a stately pace. This comparison reveals her shifting perspective. Natural phenomena aren't inferior to manufactured spectacles, but offer different, perhaps deeper, forms of beauty. She discovers the intricate patterns in tree bark, the complex ecosystems of forest floors, and the raw power of rushing rivers, all forms of beauty that can't be manufactured or improved upon. The white tiger orchids present a fascinating ecological metaphor that runs throughout the narrative. Once rare flowers genetically engineered to thrive, they became an invasive monoculture, choking out all other plant life. Rangers must regularly burn these beautiful but destructive flowers to maintain biodiversity, creating controlled destruction to preserve natural balance. This situation perfectly parallels the pretty system itself, an artificial enhancement that, while beautiful, creates a harmful monoculture of human appearance and thinking. The orchids demonstrate how human attempts to improve upon nature often have unforeseen and devastating consequences. Tally's increasing comfort in wilderness settings tracks her growing independence from city values and artificial constraints. She learns to navigate by stars instead of relying on city grid systems, filter water from streams rather than depending on purification plants, and ride her hoverboard through dense forest at night using natural landmarks. These skills represent not just practical survival, but intellectual and moral autonomy, the ability to exist outside controlled systems and make independent judgments. Her adaptation to natural challenges becomes a physical manifestation of her growing resistance to social conditioning. By the novel's end, Tally has developed a nuanced and mature relationship with nature. She recognizes both its beauty and its dangers, its comfort and its challenges. This balanced perspective contrasts sharply with the city's approach of either controlling nature entirely within city boundaries or abandoning it completely beyond them. Her journey through wilderness becomes a journey toward authentic selfhood, suggesting that true human development requires engagement with the natural world rather than isolation from it. Uglies concludes with Tally making a profound choice that's simultaneously selfless and tragic. After learning the truth about the pretty operation and witnessing Shay's transformation, she volunteers to undergo the procedure herself so Maddie can test a cure on her. This decision represents both atonement and sacrifice. Tally knows the operation will fundamentally change her thinking, potentially erasing her love for David and her commitment to the truth. Yet she's willing to risk her identity to help others and to make amends for her unintentional betrayal. Before leaving, she dictates a letter of consent that Shay writes down, documentation that, even as a pretty, Tally wants to be cured. This precaution reveals her understanding that her future self might not want what her current self knows is right. It's a profound acknowledgement of how values and desires can be manipulated, and how the choice to be pretty isn't really a choice when it alters the very mind making that choice. The novel ends with Tally turning herself into authorities with the declaration, "Make me pretty," a statement that reads simultaneously as surrender, defiance, and sacrifice. This ambiguous conclusion avoids neat resolution, instead inviting readers to consider what constitutes authentic choice in a system designed to limit autonomy. The brief excerpt from Preddy's, the sequel, shows Tally after her transformation, now part of the pretty world she once desperately wanted to join. Her discomfort with Shay's new surgical enhancements and their decision to attend a party dressed as Smokies suggests some part of her former self remains, setting up the continuing struggle between programmed conformity and authentic identity. In its final pages, Ugly's leaves us with its most powerful question. In a world that demands conformity, is the greatest act of rebellion choosing to be yourself, even when that self is deemed ugly by those in power?